Support for WPR comes from Luther College in Decorah, Iowa, a community where students are invited to learn actively, lead courageously, and live purposefully for a lifetime of impact. More about Luther College at luther.edu.
Good morning. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 10 minutes past 8 o'clock on this Thursday, March the 15th. Governor Jim Doyle's proposed two-year budget includes $1.74 billion in higher taxes and fees, according to a report released last Friday by the Legislative Fiscal Bureau, the nonpartisan Legislative Fiscal Bureau. And this week, the legislature's Joint Finance Committee got down to business on the budget for the next 2 years, holding hearings and hearing testimony and questioning officials like Governor Jim Doyle's top aide, Michael Morgan, about what's in this budget, getting him to justify the proposed tax increases and fee hikes. One of our guests this hour is Kitty Rhodes. She is co-chair of the Joint Finance Committee. She says that this new analysis from the Legislative Fiscal Bureau confirms that the Democrats' budget will cost every man, woman, and child in Wisconsin more than $310 per person in new taxes and fee increases. One of the governor's spokespeople, Mac Cantor, though, says this budget is not popular with big oil companies or the big tobacco companies, but Governor Doyle has never and will never raise income taxes, sales taxes, or business taxes. We're going to talk about the taxes and the fees and the spending and whatever issues you want to talk about when it comes to the state budget. 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890, 263-1890. And let me welcome our guests, Kitty Rhodes, Republican State Representative from Hudson, co-chair of the Joint Finance Committee. Good morning.
Good morning.
And also joining us, John Lehman, Democratic State Senator from Racine, a member of the Joint Finance Committee. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Joy.
First, to you, Representative Rhodes, what's the status of the state budget? The legislature's Joint Finance Committee is holding hearings and such this week?
Yes, we, as a group, the Joint Finance Committee is 8 members from the Senate, 6 of which are Democrat, 2 are Republican, 8 members from the Assembly, 6 Republican, 2 Democrats. So this is an 8-8 committee when you look at it right from that point of view. The last time that we had a Democrat governor with split legislature, I think, was Patrick Lucey back in the 70s. And so right now the committee is bringing forth agency heads and the cabinet members, and they walk us through what's included in each section of their section of the budget. And then we have the opportunity to ask them questions about what that actually means and how that actually works. We start again this morning at 9. We've been meeting usually, and Senator Lehman knows this, we have long days. We start at around 9, and we usually end between 7 and 8 at night. And then next week, we will begin what we call the road shows, which is an incredible, important opportunity. The committee meets in 6 different geographical locations around the state, which gives normal people the opportunity to come have input on the budget. And it's always a good opportunity for us to get outside of Madison and listen to actual voters.
Yeah, is the schedule of the road show up on a website somewhere?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, yours or the state legislature's?
It would be on, for sure, the Fiscal Bureau, I believe, on ours, and we can post it wherever it needs to be. We will be in Chippewa, Green Bay, Prairie du Chien, Milwaukee, Rhinelander, and we are not meeting in Madison. We're going to make the lobbyists drive out to at least Arlington.
All right. Well, and we will hopefully get some unofficial testimony during this hour as well. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890, as we talk about the proposed state budget. And Senator Lehman, thank you very much for joining us. We had invited the co-chair, Russ Decker, Parker to join us, and he was unable to, and I think you were recommended. So thanks very much for being with us. Well, I mean, what is your take on the Legislative Fiscal Bureau releasing this report last Friday, saying that this proposed budget from the governor is calling for tax increases and fee hikes of more than $1.74 billion?
I saw that report, Joy, and we all treasure the work that the Fiscal Bureau does, but there's a lot to be said about the budget other than the tax increases. If you look at the budget, we're in the midst of an equal number of tax reductions over the next 4 years, $1.7 billion. So, you know, if you stand back from it, it's a $60 billion budget. And if you stand back from it, look at it, it's really responsible, inflation-adjusted, do-the-business-of-the-people-of-the-state-of-Wisconsin budget. I see it as a thoughtful, reasonable document, good starting point for our discussions. And, you know, there's all kinds of nooks and crannies in that budget that we'll be looking at in the next couple months. But I think the governor has given the people of Wisconsin, especially middle-class, regular folks, real support. If you look at the really new support, I've been around for 10 years, and this is, I think, the best budget for the universities. It's strong. My area is really the education, K-12 education. Mm-hmm. It's a strong for K-12 education. We're meeting our responsibilities without shifting it off into the next biennium. If you look at what we've done in past years, we've tried to pay the bill next time around and put it on the credit card. And if you look at the budget, it really has fewer of these problems with keeping our budget balanced, you know, respecting our structural deficit, fewer one-time transfers. And mm-hmm. So I think there's a lot of good things to be said about the budget also.
Senator Lehman, though, I thought a report also came out last week that showed that the proposed budget from the governor, though he wanted to pay for two-thirds of public education costs, is actually falling short of that goal by about $100 million.
Yeah, well, the education part of that budget is a big chunk of it. You know, if you look at what Wisconsin does for our public schools around the state, you're talking about $6 billion a year spending, and the governor gives about a 2% per year increase to the public schools. It's $117 million in the first year, and I think it's about $230 in the second year. So there's real strong support. I think it comes out to 65.3% or something like that. So it's pretty close to the two-thirds mm-hmm. that we've talked about in the past.
Let me ask you, Representative Rhodes, first, what you have to say about Senator Lehman saying that we should also look at the overall budget, including the tax reductions that are in this budget.
When we talk about the new taxes and fee increases, that's $1.7 billion as fiscal reported, that's in the 2 years of this budget. In the same report, it very clearly highlights that the actual tax reductions that take place in this budget are $48 million. The other larger number comes if you spread it out over a number of years. It does boil down to the fact that when our revenue forecast came out a few weeks ago, we were all really excited because it had $1.2 billion of new revenue. Now, this budget doesn't spends that, but it goes up and beyond that by another $1.7 billion. So the $311 or $10 per man, woman, and child will actually take place in this budget. And while it doesn't increase the percent of sales tax, it definitely will increase what you will pay in sales tax, because what is being called the Main Street Equity Program or the streamlined sales tax changes the definition of what will be taxed. For example, things like, and I don't know how you do this, but you can download a new ringing tone for your cell phone. Mm-hmm. That would be taxed. Greeting cards generated by your computer that you email to your friend because you forgot to buy him a card for your birthday, that would be taxed. The iPod would be taxed. The definitions and the change of the definitions will increase the money that the state collects from sales tax by about $4 million. Now, that means the consumers in Wisconsin are going to be paying $4 million more in sales tax.
Senator Lehman?
I think one of the things you see with those redefinitions is an attempt to protect Wisconsin businesses. A lot of times you'll have, for example, a struggling little bookstore in a place like Racine trying to compete with Amazon.com or whatever. And so what we're doing, and what Katie's talking about is a very small item in a $60 billion budget. But what we're trying to do is protect homegrown businesses and small businesses in the state of Wisconsin on an item like that.
Yeah, isn't it, Representative Rhodes, the bulk of these the tax increases in the proposed budget, the bulk of it coming from things like the hike in the cigarette tax from 77 cents to more than to $2.02 per pack?
It comes from all over. There are the big items that we've talked about. We've heard about the what's being called the sick tax, taxing hospitals and trying to use that money to generate more federal money. Mm-hmm. The theory of that is supposed to be that the money collected from both the tax and the federal government would then go back and pay the hospitals a higher rate for the people that they serve for medical assistance. We've had a similar program with the nursing homes. It's been called the bed tax. We know full well that that money does not all go back to the providers. The problem with creating these new big pots of revenue and then saying we're going to use it for that, this specific purpose, is that we know we can't protect that money. We can't, because there is no such thing as a truly segregated fee. We can't protect how it's used. And no matter who's the governor in the state of Wisconsin, they have one of the most powerful veto pens in the country. No matter what the legislature determined should be the use of the revenue, it's still totally vulnerable to whomever holds that veto pen.
Yep. Senator Lehman?
Well, the three biggest revenue enhancements in the governor's budget are this oil assessment on the 2.5% gross receipts, and then the cigarette tax, which the governor has tied to a health care quality fund, and to make sure that we really take those dollars and direct them at health care. And then the third is this hospital assessment. And the hospital assessment is a strong effort by the governor to remedy a problem that we've had in Wisconsin for years and years, and we don't get dollars back from the feds that we ought to. And this is well recognized. And in terms of the effect of it, I think it's a very positive effect on our institutions. Now, I heard Representative Rhodes say that sometimes in these funds, the nursing homes don't get 100% of the dollars that are in the fund or whatever. But as I look at the governor's proposal, we have one big hospital in Racine. That hospital is going to get $21 million additional assistance. And it's going to get that kind of money because it's one of these disproportionate share hospitals. It treats the MA folks and the Badger Care folks, and it's running these deficits, and it needs help to do that. The hospitals around the state of Wisconsin are going to definitely benefit. We're going to pull federal dollars in to do this. It's a creative plan. I don't think it's a kind of, you know, at first glance you say hospital tax. Well, what the heck is that? But it's really a mechanism to generate additional dollars to pull in federal dollars to assist our hospitals and reduce our health care costs. I think it's a laudable plan. You know, there's always, when you have these, the argument of, well, what about in the years ahead? What about the slippery slope that may happen? And maybe this will be rated later. Governor Doyle has given us indication that the hospitals will be made whole. The ones that are serving the poor will definitely get very strong assistance. I think it's right where we want to be. We want to reduce health care costs, and we want to respect those hospitals that are really doing the job for us around the state of Wisconsin.
Let me jump in and remind listeners that we're talking state budget issues as the state budget, the proposed state budget, is taking shape. The legislature's Joint Finance Committee holding hearings this week, hearing from agency heads, and going on the road starting next week to hear from you And we want to hear from you this hour as well. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. Our guest, John Lehman, Democratic State Senator from Racine, a member of the Joint Finance Committee, and Kitty Rhodes, Republican State Representative from Hudson, co-chair of the Joint Finance Committee. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. You're listening to the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine, and we are talking about the proposed state budget and talking with two members, one of them the co-chair of the Joint Finance Committee that is hammering out the details of the state budget. And we'll go right to the phone since our lines are full at the moment. Aaron in Racine joins us first. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, Joy. Great show. John Lehman is my senator, as a matter of fact. Mm-hmm. And I was calling in because we're talking about the state budget. My topic is shared revenue and expenditure restraints that are placed on municipalities. Recently, municipalities have had a lot of burgeoning costs, including health care costs, because all the municipalities are self-insured. Fuel costs for all the cities have gone up. This winter, there was a lot more snow, so there was a lot more plowing going on. So the costs for cities have been mounting over the years, and yet the state says you may not spend more than you took in revenue, and your revenues are limited as well. And so what has happened is in a lot of municipalities, they're having to trim their budgets, including cutting police and firemen. And I am wondering about the idea of actually exempting police and fire from the expenditure restraints that are placed on municipalities.
Right.
And I'll take my answer off the air. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much for the call. Let's, wait a minute. We'll start with maybe Senator Lehman, since he's your constituent.
Yeah, I appreciate mm-hmm. that phone call. I should mention, Joy, that the signal for your station is really strong all the way from Racine to Madison, and it's a joy to listen to you so often on the way back and forth.
Well, thank you.
That the concern about the revenue for municipalities is one that I share. The especially in the health care costs, so all of levels of government, whether it's school districts or city or village town government, they're all faced with these health care costs. The governor in this budget has allowed some flexibility for local government, and instead of having a 2% freeze, we're moving to a 4% freeze to allow some flexibility on the state spending. We're also going from what was one of my favorite programs was the expenditure restraint program. When I was on the city council in Racine, I know that we just squeezed those budgets to get a little. It's a kind of a carrot and a stick deal, you know, but we squeezed our budgets to get that carrot on the expenditure restraint program to get those state dollars. In this budget, the governor has a revenue restraint program, but there also are, as we've heard from the Secretary of Revenue in testimony in the last couple of days, there are dollars in there for governments that watch their spending and can get that kind of assistance. So I think both the revenue setup that the governor has and the more flexible cap on local government spending is reasonable. It'll help our local governments do the jobs that they think they need to do, and I can support what the governor's got in terms of local support.
Yeah, can you, Representative Rhodes?
Well, you know, I have always maintained that there needs to be a connection between the taxpayers' ability to pay and the tax that we place on them. The fact that the value of your home goes up year after year after year, particularly if you live in fast-growing areas, the value increases rapidly and has absolutely no connection to your ability to pay. And we said we need to focus on people's ability to pay rather than government's need to spend. When we first introduced the concept of a tax freeze, we heard all the stories. Services are going to end. You won't have any police. You won't have any fire. The governor put in the 2% tax freeze. And you know what? The sky didn't fall. They found cities local units of government found more efficient ways to do what we need to do. Talk about health care. When we always do what we always did, we're always going to get what we always got. Representative Ziegelbauer, who's now the county exec in Manitowoc County, took the idea of using consumer-driven health care, the combination of traditional insurance plus health savings accounts, offered this to his employees at the county level, and they overwhelmingly chose to go into this new program because it was cheaper, it gave them better control over their health care decisions and the use of their health care dollars. We know that we can learn to live within the ability to pay, and that the sky does not fall when we do that.
Thanks very much for the call. Marcia in Milwaukee is with us now. Hi, Marcia.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good.
I have a question because I'm confused about something that was said a little while ago. It was about money going to the hospitals or being given to the hospitals, and somehow that would relate to, and the poor were mentioned, in keeping medical costs down. How, I would just like clarification on that. I didn't understand that.
Yeah. Well, let me say that I know from that Legislative Fiscal Bureau report, it says that this new tax on hospitals would attract $417 million, but that would that tax would attract more federal Medicaid dollars. It is confusing to figure out why taxing the hospitals would attract more Medicaid dollars. Representative Rhodes, do you want to talk about that?
The Medicaid system and the relationship with the federal government is very confusing. And it's one of the few programs where, in order to get more federal money, you have to spend more state money. Now, what we need to keep in mind is that this budget builds the state reliance on the federal Medicare program much more than it ever has been before. And the forecast is that the federal level is going to run out of money around the year 2013. So if we're looking to build stable health care payment structures, there's serious questions as to whether this is it. But since the state doesn't have more general purpose revenue, according to the budget, to put into medical assistance, we have to find a way to say we spent that money. So we tell the hospitals, you owe us a tax. Pay it to the state. We'll then use it for medical assistance, get the feds to match it with their money, and then we'll send it back to you. The reason that the hospitals are of topic of discussion is because the state and the federal government never reimburses a provider 100% of the cost. Mm-hmm. So if you're going in to have a $10,000 procedure done and you're a medical assistance recipient, let's say hypothetically the state pays $300 for that procedure. Now, the hospitals can't afford to just absorb that time after time after time. So what in reality happens, it means they have to shift that expense onto the people who are paying with money that is not medical assistance. And we call it the tax shift because the failure to meet the 100% payment drives up the cost for other people. As we talk about the health care programs and the items that are in the budget, we need to listen carefully because we really want to talk about how do we lower the cost of health care. Many of the other provisions in here shift the discussion then away to who should pay for it. So we need to keep our eye on the ball here, too, and look at are we talking about lowering costs or just changing the revenue stream of who will pay it.
Yeah. Now Senator Lehman has already talked about why this hospital tax made sense to him. Does it make sense to you, Kitty Rhodes? Are Republicans in agreement with this tax?
Yeah, I've worked on the medical assistance budget on the Finance Committee. This will be my third time now. It does not make sense to me because, number one, I can't protect the revenue. I can't make sure that it will go to the hospitals and stay in the hospitals. Last budget cycle, for the first time in 10 years, we used real state dollars to fund the medical assistance program because we believe it's important. It was the right thing to do. When you're faced with tough financial times, you use your dollars where your priorities are. And we funded medical assistance. Through the veto process, all that money left medical assistance again and went into the general fund. I do not believe that this is a wise move.
All right. Let me go on to another issue and another caller since our lines are busy. Mohammed in Madison. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, thank you. Yeah, I just wondered if either one of the senators could explain. Last week, Joy had State Senator Spencer Cox on her show, and he met with a lot of resistance, and I personally felt he didn't adequately respond why the governor's initiative to send an infusion of money into Milwaukee to address their problems there is justifiable. Mm-hmm. And I'm wondering if either one of the representatives could do that.
Well, let me ask Democratic State Senator John Lehman of Racine whether or not the taxpayers should, pony up $80 million to help out Milwaukee with the Milwaukee initiatives that the governor wants, like, I don't know, more nurses in schools and more police on the streets and a number of things.
There's all kinds of dimensions to the Milwaukee initiative, and this budget that the governor has put forward is very strong in supporting the Milwaukee schools and the Milwaukee services. And I joined Senator Coggs on his Urban Affairs Committee for a hearing in Milwaukee a week ago, and Mayor Barrett was there, and Superintendent Andrikopoulos, and folks from around Milwaukee expressing their support for the governor's budget and how appreciative they were. I think the view of the governor and many of us is that we have our flagship city as Milwaukee goes, and the prosperity of Milwaukee and the health of Milwaukee, so goes the state of Wisconsin. And Milwaukee has challenges that other cities do not have, and the resources that are being put into this budget by the governor, I think, recognize that and try to get at the problems that Milwaukeeans face.
Yeah, Representative Rhodes, do you have concerns with this?
Well, you know, I live in Hudson, which is exit number one.
Mm-hmm.
It is about as directly far west from Milwaukee as you can get. And I understand that Milwaukee belongs to the entire state. And we've known that for years. And that's the reason why Milwaukee gets more per pupil spending than the other cities do. There's always been special initiatives made in Milwaukee. Here's the dilemma. Money alone doesn't change the outcome. We need to start putting in performance accountability here. There's limits as to how much you can continue to put at any problem, whatever it may be. But unless you start getting money alone isn't going to get a different result. We need to start putting benchmarks in here. I think we should talk about in Milwaukee and in the many other areas talking about paying for performance. Put the incentive there. When these changes happen and when you get this outcome, here's the benefit that you will get. You know, we had in the last session, Milwaukee had a request that the state would help subsidize their police overtime. They had a horrible summer. We all know that. But yet their own elected officials had voted previously to not add additional funding into that law enforcement budget. I questioned then, why should taxpayers from all across the state make the contribution if the local elected officials had already voted no?
Yeah. Speaking of law enforcement, let me ask you both about this issue also in the news this week that the legislature has approved this bill to hire more analysts for the state crime lab to reduce the DNA backlog that's going on. Some of this will have to come out of the next state budget. 31 new analysts. Is that a good idea? Kitty Rhodes first?
Actually, I personally believe it's an absolutely excellent idea. I have a family at home whose daughter was murdered by an estranged boyfriend.
Mm.
It's a horrific case. However, because of the backup in the crime lab, they have not been able to bury their daughter. Mm-hmm. It's been almost a year. Imagine what that does to a family. Every county has cases backed up there. We had no idea how bad this was. Putting those analysts in there to be able to get this caught up and ensure that it never happens again and to allow families to get some closure, I believe, is a good use of our revenue.
Yeah, that's
and I'm actually really proud of that bill.
Yeah, almost $7.7 million, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And this is one of there are core functions of government, and this is one of the things that government is supposed to do. We need to make sure that we get it done.
Yeah, Senator Lehman.
There was agreement across the aisle that these 31 positions were really necessary, and part of it was done in our budget repair bill, and part of it was put into the next budget. They just can't hire all these people all at once, so I think we have a good solution. I know Sheriff Carlson in the Racine area had contacted me. He thought we were maybe second in terms of the number of cases that we in Racine County has a backlog of these cases, and really urged us, law enforcement is strongly behind this.
We're talking with John Lehman, Democratic State Senator from Racine, a member of the Joint Finance Committee, and Kitty Rhodes, a Republican State Representative from Hudson, co-chair of the Joint Finance Committee. The Joint Finance Committee is getting down to business with the proposed state budget, hearing from agency heads this week, justifying various spending requests. Also planning on taking the show on the road starting next week. Looks like next Tuesday, March 20th, the first of the public hearing schedule in Milwaukee. We wonder what you think about this proposed state budget, the two-year budget proposed by Governor Doyle, and what's in it and what's not, and what questions you have. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine, hoping you'll stay tuned. Peter Donald's in for Kathleen Dunn today. President Bush wrapped up his tour of Latin America this week, and after 9, Peter and his guest will talk about immigration, free trade, and Venezuela's President Hugo Chavez. That's coming up after 9 o'clock this morning. We're talking about state budget issues with our two guests who are working on writing the next state budget. They are members of the Joint Finance Committee, the legislature's Joint Finance Committee. One of them is the co-chair, State Representative Kitty Rhodes, a Republican from Hudson. Let me ask you, Representative Rhodes, before we go back to the phones, a news release that you put out after the Fiscal Bureau put out this report last Friday talking about the $1.7 billion in new taxes and fees that are in the governor's proposed budget. You said that this would end up bringing every man, woman, and child's total assessment to more than $1,100 per person in new taxes, fees, and spending. That sounds like a lot, but what do you propose doing instead of what the governor? I mean, you have to cut the spending and cut the taxes. What are we going to do instead?
Spending
I'm sorry. I didn't have your button on. Please go ahead.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, go ahead.
There's incredible new spending in here. You know, I believe you build a budget. You look at what revenue you have, and then what can you do within the limits of the revenue that exists. This budget kind of, I think, went the other way. What would we like to do? Okay, let's put that in here. Now figure out how we're going to pay for it. And, you know, Joy, the fact that property taxes have a levy now of 4%, which is called the freeze, a 4% freeze, means property taxes are going to go up too, and that's not all figured in here. But there are a lot of creative revenue sources in here. We were reading through the other day, and it was pointed out there's an increase in the elk hunting fee registration. We don't have an elk hunting season. You can't hunt elk. I mean, those are some pretty creative sources in there of how we're going to generate more revenue to pay for what we want to do. I think we should look at the ability of the state to pay and then build the programs within that limited revenue.
So maybe there's a proposal to establish an elk hunting
well,
season.
Well, if we do, it would be around the year 2009.
Yeah. So we got to cut some spending more. What do you say, Senator Lehman?
Well, I'm a supporter of the governor's budget, as is. You can say, we want to cut spending at the university more, and then you start shifting the cost of the university over to the students and their parents. Or you can say, well, we don't want to put so much into the stewardship fund. So then the natural resources that get developed in the state of Wisconsin years and years and years from now are going to be even more expensive. You know, the decisions that are in the state budget are to provide services to the people of the state of Wisconsin, and you have to look at, do we want to provide these services or not? I agree with Kitty that you know, as a family you try to live within your means. And I think this budget is within a means budget. If you look at, for example, the general purpose revenue, the dollars that are coming from sales tax and income tax, you're looking at a 1.7, I think, percent increase, something like that. It's really within the realm of what a family would see from year to year. You know, we're looking 2 years ahead into the biennium, and we're looking at a lot of services that get provided where there's people involved, and you know, you're paying them salaries, you're supporting them and their families with health care. Those things don't stand still, especially the health care costs. So, you know, if you look at it as a whole, I think the budget's very reasonable.
Yeah, let me bring in another caller. Megan in Platteville. Hi, you're on the air.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call. What I wanted to say is what I'm hearing from Senator, I'm sorry, you have to remind me, Kitty Rose?
Yeah, that's right.
Hi, what I'm hearing from you is that you would like more accountability, and what I'm hearing from Senators Layman is that you feel we need, you know, this budget gives us the resources to take care of what Wisconsin needs. And so as one of the taxpayers who's, you know, going to be paying, you know, $311 more, I think it's perfectly acceptable that those things are in the budget, as long as, to respect what Kitty Rhodes is saying, we as citizens take up the responsibility to hold our government accountable and say, well, how much money are you giving back to the hospitals, and is this really happening? And I respect her call for accountability, and I think that that sort of falls in the hands of people, Wisconsin.
All right. You want to react to that, Representative Rhodes?
Well, you know, accountability, I think, is always a good thing. And it needs to be also the stability. For example, when we talk about that the budget provides the new programming, we're looking at areas in which we have not been involved before, that now this budget puts us into the arena and says this is what we're going to be doing. We built Badger Care, which is a very successful program. Wisconsin has some of the lowest number of uninsured, but particularly uninsured children in the country. And we need to keep our eye on the ball that we do a good job. We can do better, but we do a good job. The budget takes the medical assistance program, Badger Care, and allows, and I think the quote pretty much out of the budget says, single childless adults who are otherwise not eligible will now be put into this program. Medical assistance was not designed to be universal health care. If you want to provide universal health care, then hold that discussion in the daylight, talk about the merits, and talk about the cost. But medical assistance, which is a questionably stable program in and of itself, isn't the place to do it. And I don't know that that kind of programming necessarily should be taking place here.
Senator Lehman?
I think Megan is a typical reasonable taxpayer. You know, you don't want to pay more dollars for the services. You want some accountability there. But if you can see that the services are necessary and efficiently delivered, then you can be satisfied with those services and that our participation in a community at whole through our taxes is something that we can tolerate if we can see the benefits from them. And I prefer to look at the governor's budget from the point of view, are we delivering services efficiently? Are we getting our money's worth? Is this fair to all elements of society? And I think it's particularly directed at delivering services toward middle-income folks and the average folks out there in the state of Wisconsin. It's not a budget that's friendly to big oil. It's not a budget that's friendly to big tobacco. It's not a budget that's afraid to go to the hospital association and kind of stand up against them and say, this is what we need to do to service our people and our poorest people. So it seems to me that the governor's on the right track with this budget.
Yeah. John in Mineral Point is with us now. Hi, John.
Hi, good morning. I've enjoyed the discussion a great deal. I'm a retired professor of economics, and most recently I was a candidate for the state senate in the 17th district. And given the difficulties that the Joint Finance Committee is having, I'm not so sure now that I'm sorry that I got defeated. But one of the campaign issues that we've had a good discussion about was the budget process. Tax expenditures in particular. Legislators all too often say, I don't want any increase in spending, but let's have a tax break. And I think it's called the Wisconsin Expenditures Survey, estimates that there's about $3 billion of tax breaks. Now, I'm not saying all the tax breaks ought to go away, but they should be laid on the table when, instead of pitting higher education against schools, local schools, which are in such dire needs here, and healthcare, we should be looking at some of those existing tax expenditures. And even my, and some of them are taxes that are not even being collected. I refer to the streamlined sales tax project, where we're losing an estimated $200 million a year because Wisconsin's not voluntarily participating. So I would say, and the federal government, one more point, the federal government does require a tax expenditures budget to be included along with a regular budget. So you're not just pitting current outlays for one program against another, but you're looking at these tax expenditures as well.
Some of that's over my head, but I'm sure it's not over Representative Rhodes' head. You want to react to that?
The tax exemptions, it was based on the theory of do you need to tax everything, and the fact that saying again that moving to this streamlined sales tax will capture more of this revenue means the consumers in our state are going to be paying more sales tax. I don't think our problem is that the state of Wisconsin taxes too little. Our problem is that we spend too much. We need to bring spending in line with the taxpayers' ability to pay.
Yeah. Senator Lehman, I react to that, but also you had mentioned that there are a number of tax reductions in this budget when we first started, but I don't think we really talked much about those. What are the tax reductions or tax breaks in this budget?
On my desk in front of me, I've got a list of them, mm-hmm. and it's a very long list. I'll give you a couple of mm-hmm. them. Exempting Social Security benefits, deductibility for health care premiums, up to $6,000 on child care, looking at increasing the mm-hmm. school levy credit and increasing the lottery credit, additional help for local government, which will do what Governor Doyle did in the last budget, and that is keep these property taxes within line. So
yeah,
there's a lot of tax deduction. But what the caller is calling about is the constant drumbeat for tax exemptions, especially from the business community.
Oh, okay.
And we had Secretary Burke in from the Department of Commerce yesterday. And, you know, you look at that budget and you see 60-some million dollars in tax breaks for ATM machines and cash registers and fax machines. You see grant programs and tax deductions for venture capitalists and angel capitalists sometimes tied to jobs creation, sometimes not tied to jobs creation. So I think there's a real concern of a lot of folks out there that when we grant exemptions, are we granting them to regular folks or are we granting them to folks who maybe don't need these big tax exemptions, but they have well-paid lobbyists walking the halls of the state capitol year after year working on these tax exemptions.
Yeah, all right, I get what he's talking about. But I did want to get Representative Rhodes to talk about these tax reductions that are proposed in the budget, like Social Security and the health care premiums.
Mm-hmm. Those are all initiatives that were, many of them, that had been passed by the legislature previously, whether they became signed into law, not all of them did. I'm all in favor of those. The time that we collect less and have people pay less is a good thing. But, and I'm sure Senator Lehman would agree that on the Fiscal Bureau report, it very clearly that in this budget, the tax reductions is $48 million. The tax increase is $1.7 billion. That means you will pay more.
Yeah. Senator Lehman?
Well, if you look at the total tax deductions as we've got coming up over the next 4 years, we're talking about the number I gave before, $1.7 billion worth of tax exemptions. And some of these, you know, date back. If you look at, for example, the single sales factor, that comes out of the 2003 session. If you look at the rural enterprise exemption, that comes out of the 2005 session. So some of these things are passed into law and then they come into effect in the next couple years. So they don't all go into effect at the same time or you wouldn't be able to balance your budget.
Yeah, let me get Dennis and Hudson on the air, one of Representative Rhodes' constituents. Hi, Dennis.
Hi.
Good
morning.
Please.
Okay, I just had two questions. One is that off and on the subject, I guess there was a committee a while ago that did a study suggesting that it might make sense to switch the education funding off of the property tax rolls and onto an increase in the state sales tax. And the other is that a number of states are trying to deal with some form of universal health care. I know Vermont and Massachusetts are a couple. California is talking about it. I was just wondering if anybody knows if those have been discussed.
Representative Rhodes?
Good morning, Dennis. The state currently uses income tax and sales tax to pay the quote-unquote two-thirds that the state pays of the total cost of K-12. We need to be careful because many times people had assumed that that would be each school district would be getting two-thirds of their cost, and it doesn't actually work that way because the local property tax then pays for the one-third, and that's where the voters in each of the districts get to decide. And, you know, Dennis, we had a referendum up there just quite recently that passed. If they're willing to pay more out of their part, that keeps the burden then of the local district who decided to increase the spending is then paid by the local part. And so when the state went to the two-thirds funding in the 90s, there was a dramatic drop in property taxes. The difficulty became no one said you have to maintain this property tax reduction. So over the years, the cities, counties, villages, towns, tech colleges, anybody who's on the property tax, it backfilled, and we got back up to the level of property tax where we were before we took the schools over. So we are one of the, I think, earliest states to move into sales and income tax as the base funding for schools rather than pure property tax. And it still becomes a question as to whether that's the best system. We know that we need to have a discussion on the total school funding formula. Not only is a cost a factor, but, you know, when I was in college, and Senator Lehman, you might be around this kind of same age, when zero population growth was considered to be a really good idea. Mm-hmm. Well, now that one of the biggest challenges facing school is declining enrollment. There are fewer kids. And when you are paid by the number of students who attend your school district, that's going to be a problem that will continue in the future. We need to look at the whole funding formula, not just take out parts of it here and there.
Well, I know you both have to get to a meeting, and we don't have time for another caller, so let me thank you, Kitty Rhodes.
Thank you, Joy.
And thank you, John Lehman.
Thanks, Joy.
John Lehman, Democratic State Senator from Racine. He is a member of the Joint Finance Committee. And Kitty Rhodes, Republican State Representative from Hudson, co-chair of the Joint Finance Committee. Hammering out the proposed state budget, starting with some hearings this week, hearing from agency heads, talking about the governor's, $60 billion budget. And we are also going to let you know that the public hearings for the state budget start next week in Milwaukee, March 20th in Milwaukee, March 21st in Arlington, March 27th in Chippewa Falls, April 4th in Prairie du Chien, April 11th in Rhinelander, April 12th in Green Bay. I think this is on the legislature's website if you want to check that out for more information. So we'll continue following the progress on the state budget, what's in, what's out, and debates taking place, and we appreciate your calls on this. Let me thank Leo Duran for producing this hour and Cale Plowman for on-air production, and I thank you for listening. I'm Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.